And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Hello, everyone out there in Tampa Bay and beyond. This is James Knowles coming at you for the RBLR Sports Podcast. I am here this week with our returning champion, co-host Carlos Rueda. Carlos, how are you doing in what I believe is a very lovely rowdy sweater? Is that correct?
It is. I actually got this muscle sweater if you're watching.
There we go.
Yeah, you can see it. It's like a hockey jersey style thing. Sick. I love these types of hoodies. I'm so glad that Rowdy's got these last year. But it was a little bit out of my price range at the time, admittedly. That being said, I won a social media giveaway for like a $500 gift card for the Rays Rowdies, Rays Republic, I think it's called, the store in Tropicana Field. I bought like a way too expensive Rays jersey. Those things are absurdly priced. And then a few other miscellaneous pieces of Rowdies gear, this being one of them. Shout out the Bay Republic. And yeah, it's been a good week, James. I was in Ecuador for a few days last week. I got to see my team, Liga Deportiva Universitaria de Quito, win a title at home against Independiente del Valle, team who produced Moises Caicedo, Kendry Páez, who are both going to be, well, one's already at Chelsea, one's going to Chelsea soon. So just a bunch of crazy stuff over there. I love being back in Ecuador. The atmosphere was insane. Like, it's on my Twitter if you want to go look at that, at CarlosTPA10. I recorded a lot of it, like the pregame environment, like the Barra Brava, the fans pulled up on buses, like literally, and I mean on buses, like on top of buses to the stadium with like the flares and the smoke bombs. It was just next level. It's something that like you just don't see anywhere in the US, even in the best atmospheres here. We're getting there. Like, it was, soccer's getting there, but it's just a totally different culture. It was so cool to like be a part of for a big game in person. So that was awesome. Back home, excited to talk about lots of news coming out even today up until the moment we started recording this podcast at 8:30 p.m., James. Tons of stuff to talk about. Before we do any of that, what's going on with you, James? How's it going?
Yeah, not too much, not anywhere near as much as that this week, although I will say my trip for the holidays, I guess, is coming up this week, where Monday starts with Christmas. So yeah, I will be going to Tennessee and I will not be here to record, unfortunately, next week. So I will leave it to you, Carlos, to find a good replacement. I'm assuming that Eureka will be an adequate replacement, at least. Shots fired at producer Eureka. But
Lionel Messi will be on the podcast next week. I haven't told you guys this. I locked him in over Twitter. We'll be recording and talking about the Rowdies next week.
Damn. Well, all right. Maybe I should just retire after that. I don't know how to come back from a Lionel Messi, but in the meantime, yes, like you said, Carlos, we do have a couple big pieces of news to cover today. One that was actually broken by RBLR Sports and producer Eureka. So we will get to that. But before we do anything, of course, we need to say, please like and subscribe to us on YouTube and any major podcast platform that you use as well. Please follow RBLR Sports on social media, such as Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, everywhere else at RBLR Sports. That is where you can find us. So now let's get into that bit of news. First thing, Carlos, the schedule for 2024 is out. And now we know there will be, unfortunately, no games versus RGV FC. It was announced either today or yesterday that the club in the Rio Grande Valley of Texas has folded. That's always unfortunate to see, but I guess they were not getting the returns that they needed. And I feel sad for, you know, the fans that were going out there, because I saw at least one person on Twitter who was, you know, extremely upset by everything. And I would be too if my team went away. But we don't have enough say over that, I guess. It just comes down to money at a certain point, and they were not doing that. To get back onto the good side of things, though, let's talk about a couple of moves with the schedule. Tulsa will be moving back out west, and I believe Memphis will be moving out west for the first time, if I'm not mistaken. I am not entirely sure, but yeah, that is what the Western alignment looks like. And replacing them in the East is North Carolina FC and the brand new Rhode Island FC. So that will be the setup for this season. And any immediate thoughts on the schedule, Carlos?
No, but should be noted that, well, I said no, but I'm literally giving an immediate thought right after. So yes, first game of the year is at home March 16th. and it'll be a barn burner against San Antonio FC.
Yep.
That'll be a fun one. So you really can't pick a much better opening opponent than that in terms of quality of the matchup. So that'll be a really fun one. Tulsa continuing their, you know, just back and forth roller coaster between conferences as they've been doing for the past several years at this point. So pretty funny. I guess kind of annoying for them, but it is what it is. That's what happens when you're kind of in the middle of the country. And I'm excited to see what Rhode Island is as a club, like not just the team, but it seems like there's a good amount of excitement around them over there in Rhode Island. So should be fun. Always fun to play new teams. It's fun to be playing against North Carolina FC again in what is a pretty cool stadium over there. Yeah. I really like that part of the country, and I'm looking forward to going to visit, hitting up some more away games over there. And what's not too far away. So it'll be good. Excited overall. I mean, always good to see the schedule out. It means the league is still somewhat operational and existing. So in the midst of all the chaos of U.S. soccer games, good to see some stability and continuity, knowing that we're going to be playing next year. So
yeah,
unfortunate for Rio Grande Valley. It is really annoying, just kind of the state that some, you know, clubs have found themselves in. It's such a cool stadium they have over there. I'm really sad I never got to go visit.
Yeah, I'm kind of I'm wondering what's even going to happen with that, I guess.
So today I actually just learned, and I have to go back and check who let me know, but a Rowdy's Mutual on Twitter, James, let me know that the University of Texas Rio Grande Valley football team is taking over the facility.
Oh, well, that's that's disappointing for us, I guess.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, but Michael Taylor, at Michael Danger 19 on Twitter.
Okay.
Shout out to him for letting me know this. At least it's not going to waste. It's going to be used by somebody. But yeah, HEB Park's going to be used for the new football program at the University of Texas Rio Grande Valley. But again, not really relevant to the world of USL. Unfortunate for them. And yeah, can't really say much else other than I'm sorry to all their fans. Unfortunately, it's just the way things work in this world of soccer. So yeah, hopefully, you know, we can see soccer there again one day, but at this point it's annoying how it folded too. They just kind of went into the dark slowly. It wasn't like San Diego, you know, San Diego had a chance to at least say goodbye to their team and whatnot. RGV just kind of folded into the night. It's unfortunate. So
yeah,
can't really say much else about that. That's all we know.
Yeah, and best of luck, obviously, to all the fans that are down there. Hopefully there can be some sort of, as you said, some sort of something down the road that is at least a little more stable. But with that being said, Carlos, we do have one other bit of news that we need to cover before we can get into the theme of this episode, and that is some Rowdy's news for the roster, the actual roster. That's right, we have new players to announce. Today, RBLR Sports, it was, who announced that the Rowdies have signed Manuel Arteaga. Now, this is a big signing, Carlos. I'm going to turn it over to you to do the main coverage here because you were immediately excited when it was announced. I didn't see it immediately, and you jumped on that. This is huge, though. Very, very good signing.
Yeah, Manuel Arteaga is a fantastic player, to put it very broadly. As most of you probably know, if you follow the world of USL, he played for Phoenix Rising last year. He is an incredible striker, scored 15 league goals for Phoenix in what ended up being a championship year for them, by the way. You probably recall Phoenix Rising did win the whole thing in Charleston, despite, you know, lots of people picking against them. They managed to pull out the result over there in Charleston in the final, an incredible game. And he was a huge, huge part of their success this year. He's a 6'1" forward, big guy, very agile. If you've seen him play, you know what I mean? He can hold up the ball well, but he moves really well, gets up high, can head really well. Truly a JJ Williams type player, and very much similar in how they play and the production. So, yeah, we can expect a lot of the same from him, hopefully, if he plays up to the expectations we're already setting on him. But, yeah, it seems like a really reasonable replacement and a very, very exciting name that everybody should be looking forward to see on the pitch. in the broader context, it makes the JJ Williams move make a bit more sense. Maybe this was probably hope. I mean, I don't know. I'm assuming here, but this was could have been part of the plan all along to go out and get this type of player who fits the same physicality, same player type, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, I mean, just slightly shorter than JJ Williams, but again, can get up high really well. Great in the air. So it seems like all things considered, this is a fantastic signing, and hopefully one that produces lots of goals like JJ Williams. And yeah, something else to notice, that USL Tactics actually mentioned, so I'll give him all the credit for this, is that he's actually a great defender as well. Something you never really mention as, you know, when you're talking about a forward, right, James? But again, this is something who, or a guy who has been mentioned, can play incredibly on defense and, you know, protecting corners, set pieces, et cetera, et cetera. He's just going to be a great addition, you know, obviously in the attack, but apparently can help out in the back as well when needed. So yeah, great holdup option at that number nine spot. I'm really, really looking forward to what he can do with this squad and hopefully building that chemistry with Cal Jennings really quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to see that. I think that, you know, we did see a burgeoning relationship between Cal Jennings and JJ Williams on the field. If they can get anywhere near that, just because of the number of goals that both of those players had, that will probably be a pretty good season. And yeah, I think that, like you said, Manuel Arteaga is pretty good in his own right. It's not just filling a hole that was JJ Williams being sold. Maybe this was a plan. We will never probably know. Maybe we will have some input on that down the line. But in the meantime, I think we can all take a lot of solace in what is a very good player. And, you know, if he sticks around for a season or two, it will be because he is, you know, achieving a lot. And that's what all of us should expect at this point. So if we are through with the news, then I want to start by saying our first wish, obviously, is for a trophy at the end of the season. But in the meantime, how are we going to get that trophy? Of course, we are going to want a lot of players, including someone like Manuel Arteaga, to play for the Rowdies, line up in our famous hoops of green and gold, not green and white. We don't talk about any teams that wear green and white hoops on this show. Now, Carlos, if you could, please get us started on some of your wish list items, because I believe there was some impact on whether or not any of them could potentially sign for us today.
Yeah, well, to be fair, we had a season where we wore green and white hoops a few years ago, and I actually really did like that jersey. So I wouldn't mind if we bring that back at some point, because it was kind of sick. But
maybe we'll take green and white from any other team that wears it. I'll take that.
Independent of your distaste for Celtic, James, this is my few names I've been looking forward to hopefully seeing on the Rowdies roster soon enough. But yeah, like you said, it was a good time after we signed Manuel Arteaga to talk about some other names we'd like to see come into the Rowdies sometime this offseason. Again, we're getting to the point in the year where tons of players are moving around, tons of players are making their way into the league for the first time, tons of players who've been in the league for a while are looking for a new club. And I just want to mention a few of the ones that I've seen notably still not be signed by anybody. One of those players is a guy that scored on us a couple times last year. His name is Neco Brett. You probably have heard of him, James. Again, somewhat affected by the fact that we signed Arteaga right now. So I'm not sure Brett would take a depth sort of role at this point. But yeah, I like when I was going through the list of free agents I saw, and again, I was actually partially helped by USL Tactics transfer spreadsheet he has. Definitely a helpful resource if you want to check that out on his Twitter. A ton of really, really great players on the market, James. And I know you have a great list as well to talk about here. And just, yeah, it's really interesting to see how much talent is out there in the USL. We're at a point where in the league where there's like stars out there that are looking for new teams. Neco Brett, I think, is one of them. Romario Williams is another forward out of Colorado Springs who's looking for a new team at this moment. Who else? Augustin Williams, who scored on us in that weird game against Charleston earlier this year, is another incredible, incredible forward out there who is looking for a team at this point. Again, we signed a great, great forward. I'm sure we're going to be looking for at least one more. We have Cal Jennings at this point, and maybe Leo Fernandez, if you can classify him as a forward. But we're still going to need at least one more out there. So a couple names that came up in my, quick research that I was looking for. In terms of players other than forwards, I had a few Georgetown guys in there that I have personal connections to. But as you mentioned, as you alluded to just now, a few of them actually got drafted in the MLS Super Draft. I'll mention a couple of them just because you never really know how it works, MLS Super Draft.
You really don't, especially nowadays.
Yeah. A lot of them do end up looking for USL teams. One of them was Kenny Nielsen. He's a center back. He's 5'11", and can play in the fullback role as well. I mentioned him in particular because he is a speedy guy out on the wing that can defend really, really well. That's where he's played his whole life. And that's, I think, a position we're going to be looking for a lot more depth because we don't really have anybody out there other than maybe Aaron Guillen and Connor Antley sometimes. If those guys are the guys that start, you're still going to need at least a few pieces back there to complement that, maybe compete for a starting role. I think Kenny Nielsen would be a great piece there. Played all 4 years at Georgetown, was on the Big East team of the year. Great, great player there. Another fullback I threw in here as well, James, I'm going to mention because he's looking for a team, is Darnell King.
That's right.
Yeah, he's a guy you might have heard of. You went to high school with him, if I recall correctly. Mm-hmm. And he is a fantastic player. Just so happens to be. Obviously, he used to play for the Rowdies, if you remember that. And he's a fantastic addition to the fullback spot. He is, sorry, let me fact check myself. I forgot how old he is. He is
33.
That's right. He's 33 years old. So still has plenty of stuff to give. I think he would be a fantastic role that can add a lot of leadership, to the back line as well. If he's back there. So, yeah, when I saw him on the spreadsheet, he's out of the team at the moment. He was a name I had to throw in there because we are looking for a fullback, I think. And yeah, he's somebody that knows the team, knows the area very well, obviously. I think he would be a lovely, lovely person to have back here. So there's just a few names I have now, James. I'll let you take over and throw in some suggestions. I have one more that I'll save for later because I think it's more of a unlikely signing.
This
I think
is a wish list. You can wish for whatever.
Yeah, I'll throw this in right now while I have you because I don't have much more reason for this. I think I'm going to throw in Gustavo Fernandez as well. I don't know what his situation is. I fully don't know how great of a player he is. I'm sure he's solid. I know he started a lot for NCFC. They were also coming out of USL League One. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how much he would add to the this Rowdy squad. But I love having familial connections on the Rowdies. And I think it'd be so cool to have Leo Fernandez's brother on the team. And I'm sure he would be a great depth piece. I'm not sure he would get compete for a starting spot over the likes of Lasso or maybe Kleeman. But I think he would be a great addition as well. So I don't know. I'm throwing that out there. I have no real reason for it other than the fact that he's Leo Fernandez's brother, but it's a wish list, like you said, and we're wishful. So those are a few names I have. I have a few more I'll save for later, but James, why don't you give us some of your names and maybe a few reasons why they should be in green and gold.
And I mean, Gustavo Fernandez is listed as someone who is, a possibility for more depth. So that is already why he's on our list. I think that's a perfectly good reason in and of itself. We always need more.
That's true.
The last couple seasons have proved that.
Yeah. Yeah. So who knows? Maybe it's possible. It's more possible than I would have imagined, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to highlight a couple of players who were recently released by MLS teams. Now, as you said, it is important to note with Cal Jennings up top, previously we had JJ Williams, then he left the club, and I was thinking, well, okay, who's going to be with Cal Jennings possibly up top if we're going to switch it up that way? I guess that will probably be frequently Manuel Arteaga, but at the same time, that doesn't mean that we aren't going to need somebody to step in for, injury replacements or just somebody to give them a run for their money. So if we're going to look at it and say that those are our two starters, quote unquote, I would like to think that maybe A, they could be pushed for their positions, or B, we could still have somebody who, despite being a former MLS player, will take a drop down to play for a good team and even be a depth piece. Some of them are going to be a little bit older, so it might work out that way one way or another. So let's get into that list. I had a couple of players from MLS who did not have their options picked up. If in the meantime, these guys get signed by somebody, then that was pretty much breaking news. So I will just put that out there. You already mentioned Romario Williams. He's not an MLS player from, you know, recently, but those other guys that could be like him are CJ Sapong, who was a James Madison player, played for MLS clubs for the last, I don't know, like close to 10 years, a couple of appearances for the U.S. national team. Will Bruin is another player who had a couple appearances for the U.S. national team, and I think that his best spell was with the Seattle Sounders, but he has not had his option picked up. He is, you know, just a big target man, and I think that he would serve very well down at the USL Championship level. He has still proven his ability to come off the bench in MLS and be effective, and if that's not quite the level that anybody wants him to play at, then I would certainly invite him to come down here and take in the lovely weather that we have when it's not in the middle of summer. Other players include Fafa Pico. I think that Rowdies fans might be relatively familiar with him. He might have even had a very early spell in this 2010 era, but he has bounced around MLS and a couple of other places. He played for the U.S. national team at most one time, but he has recently switched to play for Haiti, where I believe he was either born or his parents are from, but regardless, he could play for them, and he has done a couple of tournaments with them recently. So, yeah, he would be another good guy to have out as a wing option. I think Fafa P. Cole has proven himself to be a very good option, in fact, for especially a USL Championship level team. I would love to see that. Other options as an attacker from MLS include Ethan Zubak, Kellen Rowe, and Justin Renix. Justin Renix is a former homegrown player with the New England Revolution who did not have his contract option picked up. Kellen Rowe also played for the New England Revolution. I believe that's where he had his longest spell. He's a little bit older, closing in on 30 if he's not there now. And he's got a lot of experience, obviously, that we could lean on. And the last player, Ethan Zubak, is a former LA Galaxy homegrown player who was with Nashville most recently, but for whatever reason did not have his option picked up. I think that any player who is on the, you know, just on the cusp at MLS, that's going to be a very good player for USL Championship teams to look at. Now, the other thing, obviously, that they could try to do is sign with an MLS Next Pro team. Technically, that is third division, and I really don't know what the salaries are like, if I'm being honest. But at the same time, if we consider it third division and the USL Championship is second division, you would assume and hope that the options for salaries, at least, are a bit better at this level. I honestly assume they are. But the problem is, if you sign an MLS Next Pro, maybe you're a bit closer to playing in MLS again. And that's the only thing that I would worry about. That's another one that I really just don't know about, especially for, let's say, Kellen Rowe, who is close to, if not 30 years old. You know, what are his chances of grabbing a slice of a small contract with an MLS team? I couldn't tell you. But if they all just want to, you know, maybe go and try and win a trophy here, because the Rowdies are perennial challengers, at least, I think that this would be as good a place as any to try and sign up.
Absolutely. And a piece of news that we haven't mentioned that might be mildly relevant. Well, it's always relevant at this point because, by the way, we just didn't say that MLS teams aren't playing in the Open Cup as of now next season.
Right.
If you're not living under a rock, you would have seen that. So this is kind of like a random tangential connection, but hey, he could also play for the Rowdies, win an Open Cup, and play CONCACAF Champions Soccer. So
there we go.
I don't know. I think you're playing for more than just a trophy next year in the USL Championship. If you're looking at the bright side of MLS teams not playing, I guess there's an easier path for a team like the Rowdies to play CONCACAF Champions League Soccer next year or the following year, which would be a scene. Can you imagine like hosting like Tigres at Lang Stadium?
I'd have a hell of a night. I tell you what,
we would have an absolute blast. Atmosphere would be incredible. Anyway, besides that, yeah, I think those are all some great names there, James. And I think like, I know we signed Arteaga just now, and he's an incredible player. But again, we're definitely going to need more players up there. I think Arteaga and Cal Jennings are probably solid players to lock down a starting spot at this point. But I would imagine we need people to compete for, or at least push them to be even better players and have depth pieces. Because as you said, we've been injured so much in the past few seasons. So, yeah. I'm going to throw in some more names here that I had written down, particularly some names at the like fullback spot. Again, I think we had I mentioned Guillen and Antley. I mentioned – who else did I mention that can play fullback? Did I mention anybody? I mentioned Kenny Nielsen from Georgetown that can play fullback earlier. But as I was looking back through the list just now, a name that missed me was Declan Wynn. Who played for Charleston last year. Played 29 games for Charleston, was an incredible player out there who just wasn't really talked about that much on that squad because, again, it was a pretty exciting team that produced a lot offensively, and there were some big names on there. I think Declan Wynn was a name that got overlooked a lot. I didn't realize he wasn't re-signed by Charleston as of now. I saw Segbers was just re-signed. He was a name I actually had on my list earlier today. But Declan Wynn was a name who hasn't been re-signed as of now. He's out of the squad and at this point is looking for a team. I think he would be a fantastic player that would come in and immediately start. He is a left back, so I'm not sure how that would work with Aaron Guillen, right? Maybe Aaron Guillen moves back to like his traditional center back role, puts Kleeman on the bench. But I think Declan Wynn would be an immediate starting player. He would immediately contribute to the team and be a huge, huge player on the squad. So there's a player out there. If we're looking for players in the USL Championship who would immediately start for the squad at the fullback spot, I think Declan Wynn is probably at the top, if not at the close to the top, if not at the top of that list right now. One person who might be close to the top of that list is someone who I put down here because, again, personal connection. He did come from Georgetown, but that was a few years ago. Is Derek Dodson. Who's been playing right back recently for he played for Memphis before. Also just recently for Charleston. He is out of a contract at this point in time. And again, looking for a team. He's a player who hasn't been signed anywhere as of now. Again, if he has been by the time we're recording this podcast at 8:52 PM, it would be breaking news. Like you said, he's a fantastic player as well. Incredible speed on the wing, which is obviously what you're looking for at that fullback spot. Can obviously defend, but contributes a ton on the attack. And this is a part that I think got missed a lot in Charleston and Memphis, or at least a part that you don't really expect because his position for most of his life, as my understanding is, has been a forward and like an attacking winger. He was like the main striker for Georgetown in that national title winning year, in 2019. So at some point between the end of his college career and his pro career, he made the transition from striker to fullback.
You know, that was actually the same case for Darnell King, in fact.
Really? So, again, I guess not unprecedented, but still a pretty weird and kind of interesting transition to make from that attacking role, like very, very solely attacking role, to the fullback spot. And in his case, he's done it really, really well. He's contributed a ton, started most games. And again, can be a huge, huge threat on the attack. So he's a player I would like out there because we mentioned this just a few episodes ago. We're missing speed out there as of now from the back line. Antley, maybe, but again, I think there's an argument to be made that we need someone who can like quickly get up the field, or at least someone who can, I don't know, compete for a spot and be on a depth piece. I think Derek Dodson would be close to a starting spot, and I think could start over Antley at that right spot. So
if not, I mean, it would allow him even to play other spots, you know, so it's not that bad to think about.
Exactly. Again, and in his role, having played like forward most of his life, he's a very, very versatile piece. And again, I think kind of like Joshua Perez, right? Joshua Perez played fullback, played on the wing. He was doing a little bit of everything. I think Derek Dodson could serve that role as well if needed in that injury ridden position. So, yeah, keep an eye out for that. I think he should land on a team sooner rather than later because of how good he is and how versatile and how quick he is as a player. I think he should be on a team soon enough. I just hope it's the Rowdies. Yeah. And one more fullback I'll mention to round out my list here. I have of fullbacks at least, was Kieran Sargent, also a Georgetown player.
There we go.
He hasn't been picked in the MLS Super Draft as of now, which is really, really interesting because I think he is probably the best player on that squad. So I guess word's out on him. The jury's out on where he ends up and what's happening with him. So hasn't been picked up in the Super Draft. Maybe he's just kind of looking for a team. I don't know. If I'm the Rowdies, I'm reaching out to him ASAP because, again, I'm incredibly surprised he hasn't been picked up by a team in MLS Super Draft. I'm reaching out to him ASAP. He was probably one of the best fullbacks in the country in college soccer. Maybe not a starting role immediately over somebody like Declan Wynn or Derek Dodson, but certainly in the conversation to compete and be a first spot on the bench after those guys.
Yeah, I do like all of those options. I have a couple of my own, but I will say, Carlos, before we get to that, I want to highlight something that RBLR Sports is doing that I think is pretty cool here. So our RBLR Lightning podcast has teamed up with our friends at The Bolt Report to raise money for a great cause. Now, over at the shop, we've got an ugly sweater-themed shirt that will look great on you and do good as well, because all of the profits for this shirt will be going to Toys for Tots, and there will be a link in the description to get it. So please do check that out. You can see it right next to me. Oh, I pointed the right way this time. Good. You can see it there. And I think that if you obviously find this to be a pretty good little shirt, as we said, 100% of the profit will be donated to Toys for Tots. That is obviously something that is really cool. And I think that the initiative behind this is awesome. So if you would like to support a little bit of charity while you're also getting something for yourself or maybe even a loved one, do check out the shirt. We are also giving a few away. If you are so inclined, visit RBLR Lightning on Twitter at RBLR Lightning for more details. They will have those there. So that is going to be our little plug for this week. And Carlos, now, if it's all right with you, I will turn over to my picks for potential fullbacks here. I broke it up actually into older and younger options because they come from different places in terms of their soccer careers for the most part. So I will go again with the MLS players who have just been let out of their contract and probably not going to be, well, at least not going to be re-signed by the team they were with. I'm not entirely sure if there are other teams around MLS who are looking at them. But let's start out with a local guy, Ben Sweat. Ben Sweat, who actually is from Palm Harbor, went to USF, and he has not had any appearances with the Rowdies as far as I can remember. But I think that he was trying to catch on with an MLS team for a little while. Anyway, he did have a long
He played for the Rowdies for a little while, too.
He did. Okay. Gotcha. So
at least one full season, I remember. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. I wasn't sure. I was mixing him up with someone, but he has actually made appearances. So forgive me for that one. But it would be great to see him come back here, in my opinion. Not only has he had a lot of time in MLS, where he has made even a couple of appearances for the U.S. national team based off of that performance, he now, he's looking for a club. I'm assuming that at this point he's getting to the end of his career. He's probably around the same age as Darnell King, but
32.
There we go. If New England Revolution, where he was at, do not want him, then I think there is a perfectly good club right around the corner from where he was born to play for, and it would be really cool to see him come back. I'm pretty sure Ben Sweat is a player that I played against growing up as a kid, and you could see the difference in level because he went to USF and was a player there for however many years, and I went to college and did not play. So that's, I guess, how it works out. But
36 appearances, by the way. To throw that in there. He played for at least one full season with us. It'd be awesome to have him back here. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that he would be a good option. Obviously, with Jake Arriman gone, it would be great to see exactly who our left back, like our number one choice is. If Ben Sweat were that option, I think that all of us would rest easy at night knowing that there's a very good player out there. Second option for left back is Johnny Nelson. Johnny Nelson is a former MLS player as well. I forget which college he went to, but I remember seeing him there and doing well and saying, I think that he could probably make it in MLS. And he actually signed a Generation Adidas contract. Unfortunately, it hasn't quite worked out where he has been able to establish himself as a regular first team player. He's usually a depth option. And so for whatever reason, that was not sufficient. And I think it was St. Louis that let him go in this, well, just in the last month or so, I guess. Either way, he would be another good left back option, and I think that he would be possibly better than Ben Sweat, only in that he's a bit younger and we could have him for longer, presumably. That being said, I don't see Ben Sweat being, you know, a player that we wouldn't be able to keep for 3 or 4 years based on his age and ability. Johnny Nelson, I think if he came and we didn't lose him because he got so good that he wanted to move up a level, then we would have him possibly for 10 years. But, you know, that's very, very wishful thinking. If you think about how hard it is for a player to stay at one level or stay at one team in the USL Championship for 10 years, that is, you know, very, very hopeful that we could ever have something like that. But this is a wish list. We're wish casting, and that is what I'm going to put out there. Another player that I would like to highlight, I'll actually go with a couple of center backs now. Real quickly, Lawrence Weich, John Bell, Donovan Pines, Brendan Heinzeich. Who are all these guys? Well, I think anyone listening to this podcast at this point is going to go know who Lawrence Weich is. He has played with the Rowdies for 2 seasons. He was loaned to us for a third season where he was there for only a couple of games. It might have been 2 or 3 games, but regardless, he is a very good player at the USL Championship level. And beyond that, Carlos, we have appreciated many times his versatility. I think this past year when we had him, he was mostly used as more of an attacking midfielder even. But prior to that, he has played as a center back and a right back and a defensive midfielder. You might as well stick him in net and see how well he does there, because I think at this point, that's the only one that we haven't seen. And if it follows all of his other games, then he'll probably at least be an adequate choice. Now, to get to the other center backs, John Bell. He is a player who has been in MLS for a couple of seasons at this point. I think that he was with the New England Revolution last, or St. Louis, one of those two. And he, you know, is another MLS depth option. As we have said, MLS depth options usually do well at the USL Championship level. I would like to see that also for Donovan Pines, a former homegrown player for DC United. He is, I believe, out of Maryland, University of Maryland, but then he was signed to play for DC United. Again, another one of those depth pieces at center back. He's 6'5". He is huge. I think that he would be very interesting to have right next to Forrest Lasso, because A, you're not getting anything past us in the air, and B, maybe we get some more headed goals off of corner kicks, off of free kicks. I think that that would be pretty cool too. And the last one I have named here is Brendan Heinzeich, who was also with DC United last. He is actually a USF graduate. He went to play in Sweden and then came back to MLS more recently. Of course, he was let go from DC United in the last couple of weeks. So I think that having him come back to the Tampa Bay area would be pretty good, especially for our defensive depth and options there.
Absolutely. Bunch of great options as well. I would love to have, you know, former Rowdies like Ben Sweat back here. That'd be so cool. It doesn't happen very often where, like, a player comes back to a club that he was at, you know, when he was much, much young. Well, I take that back. I guess it hasn't happened much for us. We had a couple of players come back. I guess you can say Forrest Lasso came back after like a year away.
We could say lucky.
That was my next mention. Yeah.
Oh, lucky. There we go.
Came back after several years away. It would be cool to have some more veteran guys come back and kind of, I guess, kind of see where the team has gone, you know, since they've been away, and help kind of keep us grounded.
Yeah.
You know, it's good to have a bunch of veterans on the squad as well. Leo Fernandez is kind of that. I think he's probably the only one at this point who's up there and has been around for that long, obviously. Forrest Lasso is older and kind of serves a leadership role. But, yeah, it's good to have guys that have been around for a while or were here a while ago, can immediately be leaders in the locker room too and contribute on the field, obviously.
Yeah.
We've gone like totally out of order in terms of like where we are on the field. so I was going to keep up that pattern of not having a pattern and look at some midfielders and wingers too that we haven't mentioned. Wingers especially, I think, is an area we're going to be looking at. We don't really have like Dan Harris is out there. He's an attacking winger. I guess we don't really know how the formation is going to look like too with our new coach,
right?
And what his tactical plan is going to be. When I'm talking about wingers in this case, I'm talking about like more attacking wingers, not like the wing back spots that we've been using in the past few seasons. But yeah, anyway, This kind of just happened. I'm not even like saying this because I go to Georgetown. Like, this is a guy that I think we should absolutely have on the squad that can play in the attacking mid or in the wing, is Chris Haygart. Chris Haygart played for Loudon recently, and he hasn't been re-signed. He got drafted in the super draft when he got selected sophomore year, so 2 years ago. He played for Charlotte FC for a little while, actually made a good amount of appearances there. But with the new coach that came in after Ramirez, didn't really find a spot in the new coach's squad, ended up bouncing around between Charlotte and Charlotte's, Charlotte Independence became their affiliate team, had some injury problems, and then ended up in Loudon for the last half or last like third of the year last season. If you recall the game against Loudon, at home towards the end of this year, he and Adrian Rocha, again, I'm mildly biased because they're both Hoyas, but they were at the center of so much of their attacking threat. And the way, the dynamic ability of these guys was really, really incredible to see. Chris Haygart can move the ball really well. He can dribble really well. He can shoot. Like, obviously, can pass the ball well as an attacker or as an attacking midfield and winger. He's really, really quick, really dynamic, and he would be, I think, competing for a spot wherever it is that he's playing, in that attacking mid role or on the wing, but would also just serve as a great depth piece as well if that's what ends up happening. He's a guy that the Riders should definitely be taking a look at, and I'm saying this to keep mentioning guys that came from like recent college grads. I think something we haven't really taken advantage of is guys that are coming out of the NCAA like soccer system.
Definitely agree.
Yeah, the MLS Super Draft kind of exists to serve that, but something I mentioned with you, James, right before we started recording, is that a lot of the guys that got drafted to these MLS squads are just out of college, so they're expected to make this transition from college soccer to MLS professional soccer in one off season, and it never really happens because they're competing against guys that have had tons of veteran experience, whether in Europe or MLS. They're never going to start over these guys. So what happens, they end up playing in like MLS next squads, end up getting lost in that bouncing back and forth, and a lot of them end up in USL as well. So I think it's kind of what happened with Chris Haygart. Never really found his footing with Charlotte, ended up taking up a really big role with Charlotte Independence for a while, and can serve a huge, huge role with a squad like the Rowdies that needs quick, agile dribblers, kind of like a mini Charlie Dennis, I would say, is what Chris Haygart can be. And I think he would serve that role well, whether it's depth or competing for a starting spot. He's one guy that I would love to see on the team. Another guy I think we should be taking a look at is kind of on the other end of the spectrum. He is 31 years old, a bit older, bit of a veteran, we can say. And that's Sebastian Velasquez. Just recently played for Indy 11. Played one season there, 17 appearances. I'm looking at his Wikipedia again because I had this written down, but I don't know where I have put it. I think he is also at a great attacking midfield. He would be quick, again, a good dribbler. And I think we need guys to kind of support your Charlie Dennis's, because again, we've seen so many injuries. I think we need somebody to back up Charlie Dennis. I think Velasquez at this point in his career where I think he would accept being a depth piece, had 17 appearances with Indy 11. So it's not like he played every game. He wasn't starting every game, but he's a really, really talented player who spent a lot of time in the USL. He should be a fantastic piece. And I don't think he's getting a lot of attention because his production was a bit down. He's a little older, again, 32 years old. But would absolutely, I think, help out the squad, even if it's less minutes than he might have gotten in the past. It seems like he's at a point, again, speculating, might be at a point where he would accept that role. Last two players I have written down on my wish list here, not really connected. One I just wrote down earlier today because I saw the news. I put Cam Lancaster down on my notepad literally like 50 minutes ago. When I read the tweet that he didn't get re-signed by Louisville. Pretty weird over there, actually, the way it's worded. And it seems like their fans are pretty upset. Legend of the club over there. I imagine it's similar to like a Sebastian Gonzalez situation. Other players started getting more playing time than him. His production slightly down, but again, he wasn't really playing that much. So it seemed like he wanted more pay than he was getting. And then, yeah, ended up not really working out. So he's on the market currently looking for a team. I can't imagine the Rowdies would pay him what he wants based on what his role would be. But who knows? Maybe he's just looking for a team that can win the title and he wants to come play for the Rowdies, beat Louisville. I don't know why I'm confusing Louisville with Loudon in my
same level of team.
Yeah, yeah, basically. But yeah, hey, Cam Lancaster, if you're listening to this for whatever reason, I can't offer you much in the way of salary, but I get like, 50% off alcohol at the bar I work at in DC.
There we go.
There, I can buy you a drink.
Hey, I will offer him one of these old Hillsborough County United jackets, because I happen to have two of these because my dad was my coach.
Look at that. I mean, like, we're practically giving you the world here, Cam. So if you want to come play, I'll even throw this hoodie off my back for you.
Like, wow. That's and we know how much that costs now. It's a big deal.
Yeah, it's pricey. And so if you want to come play for the Rowdies, I think you'd be a great player to be here. And I think you would love the weather. So who knows? Genuinely don't think he would start over like Kyle Jennings or Arteaga at this point in his career, but he is a really, really good player. And I think he would contribute much more than like, not, this is not a diss on like Ariel Martinez, but much more than like an Ariel Martinez or a Lukiankos on it did last season. Guys that came in like last few minutes. Cam Lancaster is still at a point in his career where he can contribute a lot to a squad. Yeah. So I think there's going to be a lot of USL teams after him. I think it's a name worth mentioning just because of kind of the weight he had at that club, or he has at that club, and the way it kind of like went down. I think there's going to be a lot of USL teams looking for him. So I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up on a pretty big team. But again, he's not going to be able to be a starter, I think, at a lot of these bigger teams already have good players. I'm thinking like your Pittsburghs, your Phoenix, so like teams like that, Sacramento's. So I'm so curious and interested to see whether he would be okay with being a depth player at any one of those squads. And if that's the case, hey, could be the Rowdies. And then last player I'll throw in here, James, out of the ones I named down here. I'm sure there's tons of players out there that I would love to see on the squad that I haven't even thought of yet. But this is based off my quick research of the past couple of days and thinking about USL players, in particular USL players on the free agents watch and you know, market. Again, shout out USL Tactics for that spreadsheet. That's a great, great resource and really good to keep up with who's who and who's where. And I'm going to shout out my boy Marlon Tabora one more time. He is an incredible, incredible winger, Big East player of the year, can play up top as well. We need players on the wing. I've said this a bunch. We need guys that are quick. Especially, we're a team that's tended to be older in the past,
mm-hmm.
Which is fine. But in a league that's increasingly getting younger and better, I think we need to keep up with the times a bit and have guys that are, you know, younger and quicker. Marlon Tabora would be a fantastic player for that role. Again, Big East midfielder of the year, scores a ton of goals. Scores bangers, by the way. Look up his highlight tape on YouTube. Great distributor, great playmaker, and just a dog. One of those guys that you see like give full effort on the field, and you can like everybody's full effort if you're a professional soccer player, but like a Juan Tejada type player where like you see it, right?
Yeah.
You really, really see it. One of those guys. Again, hasn't been drafted in the super draft. Another player I'm really surprised by that. Maybe there's like a rule. I don't really know. Again, I don't know how the super draft works. But that being said, since he wasn't drafted by an MLS team, if I'm the Rowdies, I'm picking up the phone right now and giving a call and seeing if he'd be interested. He is so, so good. And I think genuinely would compete for a starting spot, just like Chris Hagar. I mentioned a few Georgetown guys. And again, I'm biased because I know a lot of them, but these are true, true fantastic players, some of the best in the world of college soccer. And that's an area, once again, that we really need to tap into to become quicker, to become faster as a team, to become younger as a team. Mm-hmm. We need to truly embrace that. I know Georgi Hristov mentioned this a bunch, obviously. I think he's talking about even younger kids, but I'm thinking about the world of college soccer, and we truly need to give that world a chance as an organization. That being said, I'm totally okay signing guys like Manuel Arteaga, who are veterans at this point and who are truly going to be starting off the bat. But yeah, that's my full list. That's my wish list. Several Georgetown guys, but mostly guys here that are USL free agents. I'm glad you brought in guys that are mostly, not mostly, but a bunch of MLS guys. It's an area I haven't really taken a look at, is former MLS guys. I've been looking at a lot of USL guys, but I'm really, really curious to see who the guys that roll in here over the next few weeks actually are. At this point, I'm curious if we're looking for guys that can actually start over the guys we have, or right. if we're looking for guys who are going to be, like I said, mostly depth pieces, mostly guys to come in during injuries, guys to play. I don't know. Like, who's the team we played last year in the first round of the Open Cup? Like,
Nona.
Like, if we're looking for guys that'll play against the Nonas next year in the first round of the Open Cup, I'm curious. So I guess we'll have to see what happens there. I guess my last broader category is, you know, embracing what Georgi Hristov said. Maybe this is a year to sign some like young kids full time and seeing what they can do. We always need depth. So, but yeah, bring them in, develop them. Maybe they become legends in the next two seasons or so. James, do you have any other players here? Because I feel like we listed a ton of players just now, mentioned a bunch of great information about them. Any players that you haven't mentioned yet that you would truly like to see on this team? Or is there anybody that we haven't mentioned that, you know, is truly a star out there that nobody's picked up?
There are a couple of players from, you know, around the world of soccer, but I think that with the time we have remaining, I really want to hit on one final thing. And as we all know now, Robbie Nielsen is the coach. He is Scottish. And if you haven't heard me say it before, I have a Scottish background. I would be just overjoyed to see him bring in some Scottish U21 internationals. I would be ever so happy if we could bring in, let's say, half of the Scottish under-19 national team. Liverpool has Ben Doak, who is knocking on the door of their first team. If they want to send him out on loan to get some minutes, why not send him to a former Scottish coach who happens to be living in St. Pete? I mean, he's probably not going to get the call, but I know of several players at Aston Villa who are not quite knocking on the first team and who could actually come on loan. The likelihood that we get a Rory Wilson or a Kerr Smith on loan is pretty low. But if, let's say, the Rowdies were looking at some under 21 and younger Scottish national team players, those are two very good guys. Those are two guys with a lot of upward trajectory, a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for? Certainly a lot of growth potential. We'll leave it with that. I would love to see some Scottish players come in who aren't just, you know, like we have said before, maybe getting towards the end of their career. Not that I would be upset with that. And there are plenty of guys that I could name who are Scottish that are getting towards the end of their career, who would come in and immediately improve the Rowdies. But while we're here, let's just go and get some guys on loan. Quite honestly, I think Hearts even has some players who could deal, who could do with a lot more just minutes, competitive minutes. And you know what? If there's one thing that'll make a Scottish player fitter, it's playing in the Florida heat. That is a completely different climate. If you can learn to deal with the heat down here, you can go back up there and deal with anything. That is my opinion. So I would love to see Robbie Nielsen, if he's going to use the hookup that he's got with his natural connections. Obviously, those are going to be in the UK. Get some Scottish under 21 players in here on loan. Let's make that happen. Let's do it.
Yeah. I think I was going to mention that too. Like, if not specifically Scottish U21 players, but if there's one good thing about the kind of uncertainty about bringing in a new coach and whatnot that comes with that, I think it's going to be seeing what kind of connections he has, obviously. With Neil Collins, I think we saw a lot of, or we're going to see a lot of potential similar connections that Neil Collins had, because they're both from Scotland, have a lot of experience in the same area of the world in soccer. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we end up seeing a couple of guys we've never heard of from Hearts or some other teams in Scotland end up over here, whether on loan or guys that are looking just to break through in the U.S. instead. I wouldn't be surprised if we see that happening. Guys that we might have not ever heard of over here, but guys that I'm sure if they come will be contributors, guys that will become great players. We saw that happen with Jordan Doherty and Caleb
exactly.
Richards, right? What's his name? Caleb Richards. I'm not wrong, right?
Nope, you got that. Caleb Richards.
Yeah, Caleb Richards. He's still playing for Kidderminster Harriers in the National League. So if he wants to come back and play for the Rowdies again, I wouldn't mind that as well. We haven't really seen or heard much of about the Norwich partnership we have, supposedly. I believe that's still a thing. If not, it kind of went out pretty quietly. Supposedly, we still have a partnership with Norwich City FC.
Supposedly.
Yeah. So if that's still a thing, maybe we see some more movement over there in the world of you know, loans. That's kind of, again, how we heard of Jordan Doherty and Caleb Richards for the first time and how they ended up here. If that's still a thing, I'd love for that to happen because clearly it worked out for us. Yep. Caleb Richards was a fantastic player that year and started every game, if I remember right. And Jordan Doherty obviously became a full-time player over here. I would love to see more happen over there from that. It's great to see connections we have work out and actually mean something. If you were around when we had a supposed partnership with Sao Paulo from Brazil, that was a thing for a day.
Imagine the players we could have brought in on loan if that was actually passing players back and forth. We could have really won a lot of trophies, I imagine.
We would have been a squad of Brazilian super kids. Yeah. It would have been awesome. Technically, I never saw something about that ending publicly. So I don't know. Maybe it's still a thing, but it's definitely not. Kind of just faded away into the night. The Norwich City thing, I hope, is still a thing. I feel like it's more likely that it is, because it's much more recent and we saw things happen with that pretty recently. So if you're Norwich City FC and you're listening to this podcast, send us some guys. I don't really know what we can contribute to your cause as an organization, but
Eureka says they got the hookup at the RBLR sports shop. Just saying.
There you go. If you're Norwich City FC, you can come train down here whenever you want. We have a cool stadium. It's really pretty. You can hang out here during your off season if you want. I don't know what else to tell you. But give us players. Hopefully that's still a thing. And yeah, that's kind of it in the world of wish list stuff on my end. What else? I'd love to see a sign like Enter Valencia. If we're just truly making it just a random wish list, he's pretty good at soccer.
He's pretty good.
So, yeah. But in terms of somewhat realistic USL signings, I think that's all I got on my end, James. I'd love to see more Ecuadorian players, obviously, like you said. It's always great to have that personal connection. More South American players in general.
For sure.
Arteaga is Venezuelan. And I think that's great because we have a huge Hispanic community here in Tampa, including a large Venezuelan community. I hope they come out and support him. So, hey. We'll see what happens this offseason. Still plenty of offseason to go. Our wish list, I'm sure, will keep changing, keep growing, keep, shortening as players get picked up and go to other places. But we'll just have to wait and see what happens. Tons of excitement, and I'm really, really excited to see what happens. I'm sure there's plenty of stuff coming this week, next week. Who knows?
Yeah, absolutely. One more name just to throw out because you brought it up. I didn't actually have this even on the list, but Santos just got relegated in Brazil. They had a Venezuelan international, Jefferson Soteldo. If he's looking for another place to play, he has been in the U.S. before. I would say come down to Tampa Bay and see what it's like.
Soteldo, he is so good, dude. That would be insane if he comes to the Rowdies. It'd be awesome.
So, a national team player, so maybe he would draw up some interest from the Venezuelan crowd. We don't know.
Yeah. By the way, he's 5'3". He's one of the shortest players I've ever seen play on TV. He's so, so good though. He's so talented. I don't know how he ended up on a team that got relegated. He's so much more than that. But yeah, I'm sure he's gonna be looking for a team because he definitely doesn't deserve to be playing with Santos at this point. But Santos doesn't deserve him. So, hey, come the Rowdies, Jefferson. We miss you.
There we go. There we go. All right, everyone. Thank you for tuning in this week. We had a great wish list, I think. Carlos and I came up with a bunch and even spurred some new ones that neither of us had written down previously.
It's all over the place. It's a wish list. It truly
is. But that's how it goes. That's how it goes. Yeah. To give you a little bit of homework, please tune in to our RBLR Deportes and Tampa Bay Sun shows. I guess that isn't too much homework because more than likely it will already be on your podcast feed. But yeah, do tune into those. I said last week, RBLR Deportes is helping me learn Spanish because you're supposed to listen and, you know, gain your comprehension. If anyone else who just already speaks Spanish wants to hear it, then, you know, that covers all the sports, maybe even quicker than individually going through each team. So I think that's a great option. Tampa Bay Sun, I'm so excited for this new team to get started and, you know, get actually rolling, naming some names to the roster. That'll be great. And when we have that, obviously, we will be covering it here at RBLR Sports. And finally, I said last week, you know, I don't know actually when Hanukkah or Kwanzaa are, but I hope that people who celebrate those are listening to this podcast because it means we have a big viewership and a big listenership. And I hope that's true here. Everyone, I do know when Christmas is naturally, but Merry Christmas. You know, happy Hanukkah and happy Kwanzaa too. We hope that you enjoy all of your holidays and that you enjoy them with maybe even some RBLR Sports podcast in the background.
There you go.
Thank you, listeners, for tuning in. We appreciate when you do, and please follow RBLR Sports on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, anywhere. That is where we are, too, at RBLR Sports. I am on Twitter if you'd like to get at me for not knowing when the holidays are. I am at RBLR James K. What about you, Carlos?
I'm at Carlos CPA10 on Twitter. If you didn't get James' subtle message, I'll tell you very blatantly. Buy our merch. Like, it looks good on you. It looks good on other people. And as we've said, you can get a cool discount with COYR. What else was I going to say? I'm tweeting about the Rowdies. It's fun. Like, we actually have stuff to talk about, as we said at the beginning of this episode. It's great. We don't just have to, like, fill in random content anymore, which we never do, by the way. Everything's always planned out really great. And, yeah, so I'm really excited to talk about everything we have to do. In this off season, like, there's tons of other USL news going on. Like, again, a whole club just folded. It's crazy. Tons of big names are moving around. It's really crazy to keep up with. And again, I'm going to shout out USL Tactics, at USL Tactics on Twitter for the transaction spreadsheet. It's actually really, really helpful. It's helped me kind of stay up to date with all the transactions in the world of soccer, the world of USL, because again, huge, huge names moving around from team to team. It's pretty interesting. And I think it's truly helpful to keep up with kind of like how the dynamic of the league is changing for next season. Some teams are building up to be real powerhouses. Some powerhouses are shipping away a lot of their players.
Yep.
And some teams are huge question marks. So it's really interesting to see. For example, Detroit City hasn't announced anybody. Hartford has brought in a bunch of random people. Rhode Island is a team that has kind of surprised everybody with how aggressively they've gone after great players. Mm-hmm. And Las Vegas Lights is doing their thing, which is nothing. So that's really interesting to keep up with again, because I don't know how they exist as a club. Like, I truly don't know. They just kind of throw llamas out there and hope it works. So shout out USL Tactics. Keep an eye out on that spreadsheet. It's really, really helpful to keep up with where all these top players are moving around.
All right, there you have it. And please like and subscribe to our podcast, of course, RBLR Sports. You can get the full experience on YouTube if you're after that, or if you just want to hear us, no problem.
You can see my hoodie.
There we go. You can do that on Spotify, iHeartRadio app, Apple and Google Podcasts. But happy holidays, everyone. Merry Christmas. And come on, you Rowdies.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.